May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In a strange way, all three readings that we've had today are about perseverance and persistence, about keeping going in life, in prayer, in faith. Whatever's going on about us, whatever chaos, whatever is happening, keeping going. The story of Jacob is an amazing story, and I'd love to remind us of the whole story of Jacob rather than just the little bit that we've heard today, but we'll come to that little bit that we've heard. Jacob, from the very moment that he was born, was a born loser. Literally, he was the unlucky one. He was a twin. His brother Esau was born seconds before him. His name, Jacob, means take by the heel, because Esau, a red hairy boy, was born first, and Jacob came out clinging on to Esau's heel. But in that kind of world, firstborn gained everything. Firstborn had the blessing. Firstborn gained all the crops, gained the flocks, whatever there was would be the firstborn. So if you were the second, you got nothing. And Jacob's life from then on is about trying to get blessed. So you remember that story when he's a bit older, when he persuades Esau to sell him his birthright, because Esau's hungry, and he sells it to him, so he gets that by deception, really. And then his mum and he, as Isaac is getting older, decide that what they're going to do is they're going to trick Isaac into blessing him, not Esau. And so Esau goes off hunting, and while he's off hunting, Jacob dresses up like Esau. Now, Esau, there's a verse in the Bible said, Esau was a hairy man. It's a lovely verse. Jacob wasn't. So Jacob dressed up in goat's furs and things so that he was smelly, like his brother who was a hunter. And so that Isaac, who is blind, thinks it's Esau and blesses him. And what happens? Of course, Jacob has to run away. Jacob can't stay there. He has received the blessing, because in those thoughts and ideas, once a word is spoken, we should remember this, it can't be taken back. It's part of it. And Isaac gives Esau a different blessing. But Jacob runs away. And that night, in running away, he goes to sleep with his head on a stone. Stones, a symbol of spirituality, a symbol of God. And that night he has that amazing dream of angels walking up and down a ladder. And God says to him in his dream, one day you will come back to this land and I will bless you. One day you'll come back to this land and I will bless you. And Jacob wakes up and he says, surely God's in this place. And he calls that place House of God, Bethel. And then Jacob goes off and he goes to the east and he meets relatives there and falls in love with Laban's daughter. But Laban has two daughters and he tricks Jacob, loser again, into marrying the older daughter, not the one he's in love with. And he has to work 7 years for her, and then he has to work 7 years to get his favourite, Rebecca. And then he's got both. But he's there working 14 years. And then he has to amount to a bit of trickery, a bit of clever husbandry, because he is told that any of the sheep that have faults on them, any that aren't beautifully whole and a bit black or coloured, he can have. And because he's a good shepherd, he can work out how to make sure that there are more sheep being born that are that colour than the pure white ones. So he gets wealth. He has children. Only one from his favourite wife. But then Laban's sons begin to get jealous because they realise that Jacob has a lot of wealth and more than they have. And so Jacob and his wives decide to leave. They decide to leave home and go back to where Esau is. And that's where we hit this story. Jacob is on the very edge of going back into the promised land. There's a river there, a symbol of passing from one place to another, a symbol of where you have spiritual experiences. And Jacob is worried. Jacob has sent his flocks ahead in little groups because he's worried that Esau might come and attack them and take them, because he's not seen Esau since he stole his blessing, a major thing. He sends them all ahead. And eventually in the reading that we had, he sends his wives and children across and he waits in the darkness. I wonder what's going through Jacob's head that night. Jacob wrestles. Jacob wrestles with a man, with a spirit. By the end of the night, he realizes that he's actually been wrestling with God. And he's kept going and kept going, and eventually the person he's wrestling with disarms him a bit, gives him a limp. And in those last moments of being there wrestling, Jacob asks the person to bless him. And he doesn't. He says, "What's your name?" And he says, "Take by the heel, Jacob, grab it all." And he says, "No, your name is wrestled with God, Israel, wrestled with God." And then Jacob says, "Well, what's your name?" And he says, "Well, you don't need to know my name. Why are you asking my name?" And as Jacob discovers who he is in relationship with God, somebody who's wrestled and fought, somebody who all his life has fought for a blessing, has wanted a blessing, has gone out for it. In the moment when he stops and just says, "Who are you?" God blesses him and he receives a blessing. And in that moment, Jacob, for the first time in his life, receives a blessing he deserves. Because he, in those moments, has gone through 14, 15, 16 years of struggling, of fighting, not just in that moment on the river, all of his life struggling. And now he comes to the point where God blesses him. The promise he had in that dream, "I will bless you." And at that moment, the sun comes up. And walking over the river with a limp, with a memory of all of that past, Jacob walks transformed into a new land, into a new place, a new person called Israel. He has to be reminded later on, his name gets changed again. He calls himself Jacob and he needs to be reminded. It's not just a one-off, but he is transformed. Jesus tells a story. Sometimes we call it the unjust judge. I prefer to call it the persistent widow. It's a very funny story, and we should be laughing as we hear it. There's terms in it that are boxing terms, that are literally terms that were used in Greek about boxing. Jesus tells the story of a widow. So a widow in those days was seen to be the person who you needed to look after the most. They would be considered to be poor. They would be considered not to have any rights for themselves. Everybody needed to look after them. If you were going to say somebody needed to be looked after, it was a widow and children. So here you have the person who needs most justice, most care, most love. The lowest, the weakest, the poorest. And then you have the most powerful, a judge, a really important person who couldn't care less about anybody or anything. I don't care about God and I don't care about people. I don't care about anything. But this widow who needs justice goes on and on and on. So you've got cartoon figures here. You've got the cartoon figure of the widow and you've got the cartoon figure of the powerful, hopeless judge. And what does he say? Well, our version, for some reason, the Greek doesn't like to be translated here, but it says, so that you may not wear me out by continually, but she may not wear me out by continually coming. Now, the Greek for continually coming isn't continually coming. It's so that she won't give me a black eye. It's literally that she won't slap me around the face. If you look in your Bibles in the pew, it'll have it at the bottom, alternative wording. He literally is saying, she's there bashing on the door until he will give in. And she keeps going and keeps going. Why is Jesus saying this about prayer? So if we look at the context of what this verse is written in, Jesus has just been teaching the disciples that he's going away and that they are going to be persecuted, that they are going to have to run away, that life is going to be terrible, that they are going to get to the point where they're going to have to leave family, leave other people. Life is going to be awful. And probably actually when Luke wrote it, it was awful. There were persecutions. There was terrible. And Jesus is saying here to them, when you pray, you need to be praying into that persecution. You need to be praying for justice. You need to be praying that actually goodness will come out of this and that you keep going. An African-American preacher a couple of years ago said, unless you have stood bashing your hands against the door until your fists bleed, you don't know what prayer is. Praying for justice, praying for life to change, to be transformed. Jesus goes on to say, not just that God is just and right and God is nothing like this judge, but God is the opposite. God is the one who fights for justice, who stands for the poor, the widow, for everybody in need. But he goes on to say, and yet, when the Son of Man comes, in other words, when all the persecution has finished, will he find faith on earth? This isn't just about prayer. It's about prayer when life is terrible. And keeping going, and keeping going, and keeping your faith. It's about action. It's about not just praying with our mouths and our heads, but by putting that action, by going and bashing the door, threatening that black eye. Paul is in prison, writing to Timothy, a young minister. It's almost certainly the very last letter that Paul wrote. It's his last days before he dies, and he wants to make sure that Timothy knows to continue in his faith, to continue in his ministry, and to know that life will get harder. Again, just before the passage we've read, he's talking about his own persecution, the things that he's gone through, the things he's in prison. And he says, but you, Timothy, stay firm. Persevere in your faith. Remember that your mum and your grandma taught you it. Remember that I taught you it. Remember these things. Go back to scripture. For him then, the Old Testament. Go back to it and remember God's promises to be with you. Remember what you've been taught and continue in faith. Continue in what you're doing. God calls you and me. Whatever the chaos in our lives, whatever the things around us, to know that he is a God of justice, a God of blessing, a God of transformation. He calls us to persevere in faith. That means it's not going to be easy. That means that we might have doubts. That means that we might have questions. To persevere in prayer, to persevere in ministry to the people around us, calling for justice and peace. These readings are full of promise. A God who is always with us. A God who is just. A God who is working for transformation. And we go back to Jacob. And you think of those years of difficulty and hardship. This isn't a quick fix. But one day, in those right moments, as we stand before God and we say, who are you? God gives us our new name and transforms us. And we walk into that dawn knowing that God is with us. God wants to transform our lives, wants to transform our prayer life, wants to transform our faith so that it's living. But he calls us to the long race. Elsewhere, Paul talks about keep running the race. I'm not very good at running. But I've before now managed to run 5-6 miles. But I've done it for a long time. But what you do is you start a little bit at a time. And you run a bit and you walk a bit and you run a bit and you walk a bit. And gradually you get to the point where you can keep going. Keep running the race. Jacob, the widow, Paul, Timothy, each one of them tells us that God loves us and wants to transform us and to keep going. May we, as we come to this table where Jesus showed us that it's not always easy to follow, may we persevere and know his grace and transformation in our lives. Amen.